Tonight I would like to share on the subject of the significance of the veil. We're going to study something that I think we're all familiar with, the veil, the covering that people would wear. Maybe before they get married, they have a veil or something, and then they hopefully, you know, the groom sees who he asked to marry him in the first place, and it's not somebody else hiding behind that veil. But it's interesting in the Word of God how this is used. And of course, you're going to say, well, Bob, why are we going to talk about the veil? What significance does that have in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, bear with me for a few minutes here, and I will unveil for you some spiritual truths. So there are two main words in the Greek that are translated veil, and they both are similar in meaning. It's a covering. One is used for like a curtain, a veil, a curtain. The other is a covering over your face. And the Arab lands, you see where, especially the women, wear these coverings. Are they called burqas? I think they're called burqas. And some of them, you can't, they're fully covered. They can barely see out. You know, the ninjas? Yeah. So let's go to Matthew 27:51, and we'll look at this one aspect of this veil here. All right, Matthew 27:51. I'm going to share out of the ESV for you. And it says here, Matthew 27:51, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And this was occurring while Jesus Christ was being crucified. And God, I mean, the correlation here and what God did during that time where Jesus was paying the ultimate price with his broken body and shed blood, God had that curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. Now, in the temple, the Holy of Holies is where the Ark was, the covenant of the Ark, and nobody went in there. You would die if you went in there. One guy would go once a year, and that was it. And there was this big curtain, very thick curtain, that separated the people from the presence of God. And it was torn from where? Top to the bottom. Isn't that neat? And so I'd like to illustrate this. I have Vanna Jeannie here. Will illustrate how this works. So behind me, you folks on the conference call, behind me is our big curtain in our living room. And if we open it up all the way, who do we see?
God.
God, right? Because behind the curtain was God Almighty.
Thank you,
Vanna Jeannie. And, I mean, think about how this time where Jesus Christ was giving his life and God ripped that curtain and now he had full access to the people. And we, the people, have full access to God Almighty. Pretty neat, huh? All right. Hebrews 6:19. Here's another usage of this word veil. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, and this is the King James, I believe, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Okay, and you enter in. Within the veil is your access to God Almighty, right? Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Now, what's a forerunner? Besides a vehicle. The one that goes before anybody else, right? So Jesus Christ was the forerunner. He was made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. According to the laws of the Old Testament, had to be a high priest to have access to God. Jesus was the forerunner. He was the first. Who are the rest?
Us.
Us. All of us have full and complete access to God Almighty. Pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's another word here for veil, and it's in the Greek, it's kalupto. Kalupto. All right? Bullinger, a wonderful man of God, a researcher of the scriptures, he defines this Greek word as such: covering for the whole head and face, hiding all the face except the eyes. So now let's go, in light of this definition and this word, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to kind of jump in the middle here on this. Ideally, if we had a little more time, we'd start in the first verse, but we'll see what's happening here. Verse 11, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more than that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now, it's talking about the Old Testament, the laws that was glorious. When Moses came down the mountain, he was shining. He was, the glory of God was shining so bright, he had to put a veil over his face so the people could look upon him, because he just really shined. He would go in the tent and talk to God, he'd take the veil off. He'd go out and talk to the people, he had to put the veil on. And this great glory of God, in light of the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, is what happened in the Old Testament. So this, you see the transition to the New Testament now, right? So verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in who? In Christ. See, he did away with that veil. All that great glory, not necessary. Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? There's great freedom. We're not under bondage of the law, but great freedom with the Spirit of God. But we all, with open face. Now, some of your Bibles probably have different translations. Unveiled face?
That's the veil removed.
The veil removed. Well, because the Greek word is anakalupto. It's that same word for veil with the prefix ana, which is the negative of that, is taken away from. So that veil is taken away with all, but we all with open face, the unveiling face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you got born again of God's Spirit, you received the glory of the Lord. You got filled with Christ in you, the hope of glory. You fully identify with who Christ is. You have his righteousness, his sanctification, his redemption. You are loaded, right? Mm-hmm. We are just loaded. And boy, if Moses was loaded with 10 commandments on a piece of rock, and he was so shining and glorious, they had to put a veil on. What about us? With what we have in Christ, man, oh man, we shine big time. So every time you look in the mirror, don't look at that extra hair flying out somewhere where it shouldn't be, maybe, but confess the glory of the Lord, right?
Amen.
The glory of the Lord. Amen. You know, Ken Petty, in this book that he shared, that Darlene shared with us during the weekend in the Word, had some wonderful things to share along these lines. And I'm going to share out of this book. When was Moses' face unveiled? In the presence of God. The thing I see there is, if you really want to know who you are, you're going to have to spend a lot of time with God. The world is not going to tell you who you are. The truth is, people hanging out with God is really not the great key. You need to see that God will show you who you are in His presence. That's the meaning of the unveiled face. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. God will reveal who we really are. And then in another place he says, isn't it wonderful that it is when we are in the presence of God with unveiled face, we behold the glory of the Lord. The world will not teach you that. You're not going to learn that truth by going to a success seminar. Only God can reveal it to you. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image of Christ. That means we look more and more like Christ. If you have a lifetime goal, could there be anything greater? If there was one thing you could accomplish in your life, one thing where you could say, I accomplished this in my life, what would it be? For one person, it might be, I made $10 million. I'm a millionaire. For another, I'm a big star. I'm an athletic superstar, or I'm a star in Hollywood. People have all kinds of goals and aspirations. How about being able to say, I look a lot like Christ? Man, oh man, if we could just grasp that reality that it's Christ in me and I can shine forth with all that Christ is, with all His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His care, His concern for people. Man, oh man, the Word of God would move out in a most wonderful way. Isn't that neat? Well, the next verse is actually chapter 4, verse 1. They shouldn't have never put a chapter there because the first word is what?
Therefore.
Therefore is as a result of what we just read in verse 18. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we what? We faint not. We have a ministry. God has called us to shine forth with the great reality of Christ within. And I'd like to close in 2 Corinthians 4:6, a wonderful verse to close out on. And I trust you see the significance of the veil tonight. But in 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you that we can shine forth in our days here, that we have a ministry to hold forth the greatness of your word, that we can just shine forth the great glory of who we are in Christ and love people, pray for people, minister to people, bring them to your family, Father. So we are just excited that we can have these great realities present in our lives. So thank you for them, Father. And I pray for each and every person in this fellowship tonight, seeing the great truth of what I just shared. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.